Matthew 13. I'm going to look at verses number 45 and 46. But I believe I'll read just a few verses here, starting at verse number 44 in Matthew. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, and he taught in parables. And he asked the disciples, asked him, says, why do you do this? Look at verse number 10 of this chapter 13. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why do this? And verse number 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall it be given, and he shall have more abundant. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they see and see not, and hear and they hear not, neither do they understand. And he goes on in verse 16, says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And he quotes an Old Testament in between there of Isaiah. So here's the prophet of the church. And look at verse number 34 and verse number 35 before we look at... in verse number 33 said, another parable spoke he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto multitude in parables, and with that parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And so he spoke to them in parables, and here he tells us that he reveals secret, the things from the very foundation of the world. So the Spirit of God and these secret things, and what are these secret things? Well, isn't it that of salvation? Isn't it that of the election of grace? Isn't it that of the atonement, the effectual atonement? Isn't it the things that are brought to light through it? Isn't that the secret things? And isn't it done the Spirit of God search and finds that from whom Christ died? And we see that the whom the Redeemer shed his precious blood for, and the fruit of his suffering. Isn't that the secret things that is brought to light? And the Spirit of God, he witnesses to us the Father's love. He witnesses to us the redeeming grace. And that's the secret things. We realize that here it is. He reveals the things that has happened before unto us, that we have an interest in those things. So he spoke to these disciples, and we find in verse number 44, again he says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto the treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven, and this is the verse I wanted to speak from this morning. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, whom, when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So we have in this text this morning, the kingdom of heaven, we have the merchant man, we have the search, as it speaks of here, and the godly pearls that they are sought for, then the pearl of great price that is found, then also it says he sold, or the sale, he sold all that he had, and he purchased and he bought it. The kingdom of heaven. We notice that he, as the Lord teaches here, and here's the master teacher, and as he teaches, he says again, again. You notice in verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast in the sea and gathered a lot of every kind, which when it is full, it drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. And he goes on and he likens that to the end of the world when the angels come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. And he says again, he repeats this. In the scriptures, you remember that the apostle says, put them in remembrance. And again, here's the Lord. Again, he uses that term. He taught them again. Now, the kingdom of heaven, as we look at this in this passage of scripture, and it's used here several times, and what is teaching us that there is genuine that is found in the midst of that of the world. There's the genuine, and there's also the counterfeit in the world, as it talks about here, as you look at it in this verse, the net cast in the sea, and it brought forth, and there was the good, and there was the bad. And so the kingdom of heaven is like that of a net that contains the good and the bad fish. It's like that of the field that contains the tares and the wheat, as well as the wheat. So what he is saying, the children of God is scattered among mankind. And it is. Here's the world today. We live in this world, but in this world there is the children of God. They're scattered. They're scattered among a corrupt people, and men by sin is corrupt. They're among mankind. And so the world is made up of those that are redeemed and those that are unredeemed. That's the way that the world is. The world is made up of those that are regenerate and those that are unregenerate. It's made up of those. The Bible even goes on. It talks about dogs. It talks about swine. In opposition, there's lambs and sheep in this world. It's made up of all of these. So we see in Matthew's gospel, we see the Lord Jesus Christ preaching to the crowds. But in John's gospel, we find that he brought his disciples in. He began to speak to them, the circle of his disciples, didn't he? We find the crowds, and the crowds opposed him for the most part, and they scattered about as you look at it. You find the scribes and the Pharisees, they brought the outcast woman and they accusing her of her sin, and her sin was adultery. And he writes, the Lord does, he writes on the ground, and whatever he wrote there, they all left, didn't they? These scribes and these Pharisees, they scattered whatever that he wrote. We don't know what he wrote, it just says that he wrote on the ground. But he drew this one, this weak one, he drew him to himself. So the kingdom of heaven, we see that it's God's gracious work in the midst of an earthly surroundings, a corrupt surroundings, and a carnal surroundings. There's his very work in the kingdom of heaven, as it speaks right here, that he works in the midst of all of this. We see the merchant man, as it says here, like unto a merchant man. Now, I used to think, and I've on this passage of scripture, and if you go and look at commentaries, you'll find that there's different ways that it is written. And most would preach this as a sinner seeking Christ. And but it says here in this parable, it says that a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, and when he has found that pearl, he went and sold all that he had. Now, it's like there's a buying, but does man buy the Lord Jesus Christ? He doesn't buy Christ. The sinner doesn't do this, does he? The salvation is not a buying. The salvation, Christ is not for sale. And God's salvation and Christ's salvation is far above price, isn't it? It's far above that. And besides this, the seeking sinner is bankrupt by nature, isn't he? You look at him by nature, isn't he bankrupt? He has nothing that he possesses that is a, that would come before God, a just and a holy God. And it's like Top Lady said, nothing in my hand I bring. We don't bring nothing, do we? We can't bring anything. We don't have anything to bring. And we know that we're brought by grace. We're brought by God's grace when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we seek Him, you know, we're brought by grace. So here's a merchant man, and it's pictured as like that he has a stock in hand. But the sinner is not able to purchase salvation or the very favor of God. And we're like the psalmist said, I am poor and needy. And that's what we are. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are poor and needy. And the psalmist said, He's my help and my deliverer. So I'm glad that he thinketh. The Bible says, the psalmist says, I am poor and needy, and he thinketh upon me. We're glad of that, aren't we? You remember in the passage in Luke, there was the debtors, and the Lord talked about the two debtors, and he said the woman had nothing to pay, didn't he? And she had nothing to recommend her to the Savior, and he was asking who loves much, one that's forgiven the most, and asked Simon that. Simon said that I suppose the one that is forgiven the most, and she's given the unsearchable riches of Christ, but she didn't have anything to pay. She couldn't pay anything. Over here in Romans, the third chapter, in the book of Romans, in verse 19, let's look at this verse, 3:19. It tells us here, now we know that whatever things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And here the world, it says here, that they may become guilty before God, that every mouth must be stopped. So this merchant man here that is speaking of in this parable must be the seeking Christ. It must be the seeking Savior. Now, you see next the search. And here's the search. He seeketh goodly pearls. Here's the search. And if it wasn't for God's seeking, none would ever seek Him, would they? It's God seeking first. And if he's not determined to find, there'd be none found. And who sought Adam? We look at Adam, and Adam sinned, and he failed, and he did this out of love to his wife. Adam was natural. We find Christ is spiritual. We find Adam was earthly. Christ is heavenly. We find that his way was from God, but Christ's way is to God. And we see Eve, and Eve stood in the midst of this ruin where sin had plunged her. And we see Adam, he would not depart from her. He plunged himself in this ruin, and he'd not depart from her. You know, we see a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as Adam parted with all that he had for the sake of Eve, his love of Eve. That's a type of picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the last Adam. He left all and that he had for the sake of his bride, the church, didn't he? See, he loved his bride. He plunged himself. He came to this earth. And as Adam discovered the plight and the state that he was in, we find that they both hid themselves. That's what the Bible says. They hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees. They hid, but who sought them? God sought them out, didn't he? They ran from him, but they didn't get away from his arm, did they? There was his reaching arm unto them. They hid, but he could see them. And he comes to them and asks them, Where art thou? Now, that's not a question that God was wondering, where art thou? But he's asking them, where art thou? To see if they recognized where they were, wouldn't they? Where art thou? And here's the truth that is taught to these two, Adam and Eve, as sinners, that God sought them. That he sought them. Now, the covenant God seeks, and that's what we see here with this merchant man, he seeks this of goodly pearls. We find a parable, and we find in Luke, the 15th chapter, there's three parables there. There is the shepherd seeking the lost sheep. There is the woman seeking the lost coin. There also is that of the father, the lost son. All three of these things are there. And they show that the love of God, and that for that of his family, it shows the love of God as lost sheep. And there's something that is very interesting in that passage of Scripture. It says the Lord, as he seeks, said the good shepherd seeks the lost sheep, and he says, until he finds it. Isn't that a blessing there? He seeks until he finds it. Then he talks about him laying it upon his shoulder and brings it back, rejoicing. And there's a lost coin. And there's no life in the silver or the coin, but yet it's something of value. And God values his people. There's a spirit of God that seeks out the people of God. Then there's a lost son, and the father seeking his lost son. He saw him. And this is the prodigal son, and he ran, and he fell upon his neck and kissed him. And also, this is a picture from the Old Testament. Isaiah says, I was found of them that sought me not. And so we find that Christ is the seeker. He's the merchant man. Seek of goodly pearls. Now, these goodly pearls, and here is the goodly pearls, and then there's a pearl of great price. And I want you to see this morning that this is speaking about the same. It's speaking about individuals, but it's speaking about the unity of individuals also. The pearl of salt. It says goodly pearls. Now, a pearl is white, and it's a precious treasure of the ocean. Now, we live in a day that there's real, genuine pearls, then there's called cultured pearls, and there's different types of pearls, and most of them are man-made, but there's a few that are naturally made that are pearls. And what he's speaking of here and teaching us, that here's the goodly pearls, and that is the people of God. They're the precious people of God. They're like the treasure up here. They're hidden in a field. They're hidden in the world. And what does he do? He finds them. He brings them. He brings them to light. He brings them to love. He brings them to liberty. And here's something else about the origin of pearl. Now, pearl comes from a couple things. There's a pearl oyster. And because it has an irritant, it secretes some chemicals that it secretes that forms a pearl. And it's formed in layers, as pearl is. And it's because that there's a irritant, a scratch, or something like that, that it heals over and begins to heal, and it makes a pearl. Now, this leads us to the church, and we find that God saves it by his rich and sovereign grace from all of sin's defects. So it's interesting how a pearl comes about, and a pearl is very valuable. In our day, if it's a genuine pearl and it's shaped and round, true round, and so forth, and they tell the natural from the cultured by X-ray, but they've sold for over $1 million, genuine pearls. And so we find that this leads us to the church, And God saves it from all sin. There's that which has caused the problem, and that's sin. He washes. There's the defect of sin. And God's pearls, they're surrounded with that of mire and dirt. Yet they don't lose any value. God's pearls don't. His church are pearls in His eyes, and they're goodly pearls. They're beautiful pearls. They're graceful pearls in His very eyes. And here's these goodly pearls, and here's a merchant man seeking those. But let's look at the pearl of great price this morning. And when we look at this, let's think in terms of these goodly pearls. They are individuals. But here's the pearl of great price, is that of the church. And the church is one. It's made up of individuals, isn't it? It's made up, this pearl of great price. And the Bible sets forth this, and we'll go into it this morning and look at it. But there's a oneness to the body of Christ, His bride. There's a oneness. Over in the book of Romans, in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, and if we turn there this morning to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, and I want you to notice what it tells us here in verse number 4. For as we being many members in one body, so here's the goodly pearls, but yet it's one great pearl when it looks at it as a body, doesn't it? You see what I'm talking about this morning. You look at the church and look at it as goodly pearls, but you can also look at it as one this morning, a body, which is made up of many members. So here's this pearl of great price, the church, the body of Christ. And we look at this morning here, and it says it's made up of many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. But we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now see, just as you can talk about this morning, that you've got your members, you've got your eyes, your nose, your lips, and all of this, and your arms, and your legs, they're members, but yet you're one body, aren't you? So here's that body here, the one pearl of great price. And turn over to 1 Corinthians, and I got another verse or two, 12:12 here. 1 Corinthians 12:12. Let me see what... For as a body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being members are one body, so also is Christ. Then he goes on, we are baptized into one body, whether Jew or Gentiles, whether bond or free. We've been made to drink of one spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. And here again, you can look at it and think this morning of the church. It's many members, but yet it's one body. It's one. Now, this merchant man here, he found this one pearl. He found this one pearl. Now, let's think a moment. Where did he find it? Where did he find this pearl? Well, we look at it and it says, well, he found it in the world. Well, that's true. But he also found it in the purpose of God before the foundation of the world, didn't he? He found this pearl. John the 17th chapter says, thine they were, and thou gavest them me. So here's this pearl of great price. It come from the Father. He says, thine they were, thou hast given unto me. And he goes on, he says, all of thine are mine, and mine are thine, and thine are mine. Thou hast given unto me, they're one. So there's one pearl when we look at the church, and this way of looking at it, it's just one. One body. Now this pearl is that of perfection. It's not imperfection. Here's a pearl that is perfection. That's standing. That's the church and how it stands. Now what did he do? Here's the merchant man. What did Christ do? He sought He's saved. He found his pearl. He's finding his pearls, but he found his pearl, didn't he? His church. And he does this by the Spirit of God. And the Bible speaks, and, you know, he may find them, the Bible says, in the desert land or the howling wilderness. They're scattered, as it talks about here, their treasure hid in the field. They're scattered. Scattered throughout the world. And he finds, by the Spirit of God, he finds the various members of this one body, doesn't he? He finds them. When he finds them, what does he do? He washes them. He cleanses them. He purifies them. And the church appears, this pearl appears before God clean every whit. There's not a spot found or can be seen. Now, we go a little further. And here, I think, is the key to it. It says he went and sold all that he had. He went and sold all that he had, the merchant man did. Now, what have we got to sell or dispose of? But look what the Lord Jesus Christ, he sold all to purchase his church, didn't he? He sold all to purchase his church, this pearl of great price. Let me give you a couple scriptures, and we'll look at these this morning in Philippians. And turn with me to Philippians, and these verses we'll look at from the scriptures. Here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 6, here's the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's see this morning what he done to purchase the church. How it says, let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6 of the second chapter of Philippians. Who being the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. Now isn't that selling all? He left heaven's glory, didn't he? He left heaven's glory. Can you see and picture in your mind this morning of Christ with the Father in glory? Then you look at him this morning as he walked on the face of the earth. You look at him this morning as he is among his persecutors. Look at him this morning as they hung him upon the cross. Look at him this morning as they looked at him upon the cross between two thieves, the malefactors. It says here, took upon himself the form of a servant, is made in the likeness of men. Now you tell me that wasn't humiliation. Look where he was, a perfect, in heaven perfect. Everything was perfect. Then he comes down and says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Now, it seems to me he sold everything, didn't he? To the death on the cross. Wherefore God now has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and the things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, you can see there this morning, now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. Look at this verse this morning. And here's this merchant man. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here in verse number 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. What a scripture this morning that is given unto us. That ye, through his poverty, might be rich. Now, Look at that this morning. He parted with what he had for this pearl. This pearl of great price. He parted. It says here, he was rich. We know his richness. It's interesting to note that he is king, but look what he laid aside when he came to this world. He became poor. You know, as the scripture says that he said that the foxes have dens, the birds have nests, but he had no place to lay his head, didn't he? Look at him. And all of this says for your sakes, for my sake, your sake this morning. He did that. That we that was poor might be rich. And look at he was going to say that you through his poverty. See, he sold all that he had to come to this world, to go to Calvary's cross and to die, that we might be rich. So there's a richness his people has this morning because that he sold all that he had. Here's that merchant man. The Bible says he gave his life as a ransom. He gave his life. And the Bible says, Paul wrote and he says, who himself, he gave himself for our sins. He gave himself. Wasn't that paying all this morning? He paid his life. He paid his blood, all that he had, for his church, for his bride, for his pearl. Then it goes on, says here, sold all that he had. Then he bought it. Bought it. The church is a purchased possession of the Lord. He purchased it. And Acts, the 20th chapter, in verse number 28, says, the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Says he purchased it with his own blood. He bought it. You know, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 says you're not your own, you're bought with a price. So, here's that this morning, the church. It is bought with a great price. Peter speaks of it over in Peter, the first epistle of Peter, and he says that you're not redeemed with corruptible things and as silver and gold. You know, most things are bought with silver and gold. We live in a world that things is money that buys. But he says this is something different. He says you've been bought with the precious blood of Christ. That precious blood. Not corruptible things, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he bought it. Christ bought the church. As I said a while ago, he gave his life a ransom. The book of Revelation says he has redeemed us to God by his blood. So that was a purchase. So it says here, when he has found this pearl of great price, sold all that he had and he bought it. And I submit unto you today that in looking at this, there is this treasure and spread out in the world. And he's bought it with a great price, his church. He says, seeketh godly pearls. He seeks. And he's seeking in this world today. It's still going on. He seeks out his own. Brings them to himself. They believe. They receive Christ. He brings them to himself. And that's the goodly pearls. But they also make up this one body. This pearl of great price. Is spoken of as a unity here when it says the great pearl
but as individuals when he's speaking of goodly pearls. So this is something to think about here, and I think it's a good picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he does, and how that he received his pearls and a pearl of great price. He sought it and he bought it with his precious blood. Our Father, take the message. Use it today, and as we think about what Christ has done for us, we know that the expense of our salvation was his blood. It was the cross. It was his suffering. We are thankful that as he says, all of mine are thine and thine are mine. He says, thou gavest them to me. And every believer has been given unto the Lord Jesus Christ, been given unto him. And he's the redeemer. He's the buyer. He purchased. As he purchased us with the salvation, as he purchased us, we see that in that salvation's the blessings. All thy blessings flow unto us from Christ Jesus. We are thankful. We ask you bless this message to the hearing of the ears that are gathered here. May they think upon Christ. And think about him paying all to redeem his church and to buy his church. And to, that, as the scripture says, you're bought with a price. You're not your own, but we belong to another. We belong to Christ. He's bought us and paid for us. Not only bought us and paid for us, but he sought us out among the mass of mankind and brought us unto himself. We are thankful. We praise you this morning. Now we just seek your blessings. May we meditate and think upon thy word in Christ's name. Amen.